Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Hello! This is The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen with you here on this beautiful Saturday for February in Chicago. Super Bowl weekend. Mark Carmen is jacked up. Can't wait for the game.
Ordered my pizza already. I got two to pick up tomorrow at 5:15. Adam Hoge, I am ready to go. We got a pepperoni. We got a half cheese. We got a jalapeno, an onion, and a mushroom. You fired up with that call?
Ooh. Jalapeno. That does get me fired up.
Little kick on my Super
Absolutely.
Bowl Sunday.
I'm a little bit tired of all the Super Bowl nonsense that goes on during the week. Although I don't think it wasn't too bad. You know, compared to last year with Deflategate, this is like nothing.
I'm actually super into this Super Bowl. I don't know if it's the whole Peyton last game, Cam Newton rising up and becoming the face of the NFL. And maybe I'm just sort of in my own world, too, of just living the sports dream. But I'm really I don't remember being this excited for a Super Bowl. I'm
really.
I don't feel like I know what's going to happen. I don't have any real good feeling. Do you?
I think the Panthers are going to win.
Do you think they're going to win by a lot? Do you think we're going to have a close game? Do you think they're going to cover?
Backdoor cover by the Broncos.
Backdoor Bronco cover.
Yeah, well, backdoor Bronco.
So not that close, but kind of close by, if you look at it in 20 years, by the score, close.
I want to start the show here. Roger Goodell, on the Friday before the Super Bowl every year, gives his State of the League address.
He's a really in-touch person, isn't he?
I have never had much of a desire to go cover the Super Bowl, and it may surprise people to know that I have never covered a Super Bowl. If there's one reason to go, though, it's kind of these Friday press conferences. I just want to grab the mic and ask him, Roger, when you say these things, what's going on in your head? Like, is there some kind of connection here that it's, something doesn't connect the right way, like just for a split moment and you say something stupid? What's going on here?
He's in, at least as far as, and we're about to play you a cut from him talking about the safety of the game and how he wants his kids to play the game. If he had a son, he'd be playing football, and how he played football for 9 years. He's in a very difficult spot trying to promote a game that's not safe. But I've learned, Adam, that the best philosophy in life is the honest philosophy, and everybody knows that football is dangerous. If you could just get up there and say that, listen, we know that our game is a dangerous game. It's always been a dangerous game. It always will be a dangerous game. But people like to do dangerous things. They like to drive really fast. They like to jump out of airplanes. And people love playing this game partly because it's dangerous, yes. And listen, we're doing everything we can to keep it as safe as possible, but we're not going to try to fool people and tell you that, you know, when you're sitting on your couch at home, it's the same as playing football. Of course, he went the exact opposite. Should we play what Raj had to say?
Yeah, go ahead. We should play this.
This was good old Raj Goodell, and this wasn't the actual press conference, but this was Roger trying to defend the safetiness of the game of football.
I would not only want him to play football, I would certainly encourage him to do it, and I would let him do it. I think there are tremendous values from playing the game of football. There are risks involved with anything in life. But what we need to do is make sure we show people how to get the most out of playing sports and do it safely.
So there you go. You learn discipline in football that you can't learn in other sports like, say, basketball or soccer or tennis or pick any other sport. And his exact quote, like at the podium yesterday, he said...
This is really what I was concerned with.
Yeah, he goes, from my standpoint, I played the game of football for 9 years through high school. I wouldn't give up a single day of that. If I had a son, I'd love him to play the game of football. I'd love to have him play the game of football because of the values you get. There's risk in life. There's risk sitting on the couch. I mean, that is a direct quote.
There's risk sitting on the couch.
Which, you know, is a very interesting statement because, you know...
I'm starting to think of... if I've had any dangerous couches in my life.
Yeah, well, and listen, there are some dangerous couches out there. I've done research on this, right? And, you know, that L-shaped couch.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Right, there's that little crease,
it's
right?
Sectional.
Right, and like, there, you could fall
into
the crease.
Although mine, they're bolted together.
Oh.
Not, well, there's like a connection thing and they lock together. Any- so actually, you can't in mine. And I have a 1.5-year-old son who likes to climb on the couch. He thinks he's a gymnast. And every once in a while, I'd say twice in his young life, he has fallen off the couch.
Well, see?
And he's fine.
So maybe...
So even in that scenario, couch, not so dangerous.
I mean, there have been couches that have been like set on fire in college football celebrations, like West Virginia fans. I don't know if you remember that, right? They set the couch on fire.
Okay, couch on fire, dangerous couch.
Very dangerous couch.
Yes.
I mean, he could have like kind of like a lava-lined love seat. I mean, what is the Roger Goodell couch? By the way, if you've ever been injured on your couch or you have a dangerous couch, 312-981-7200. We'd like to hear from you. Dangerous couches, 312-981-7200. How can you get up there and say there's danger in sitting on the couch?
I don't know.
He gets paid $44 million a year. You would think he could come up with something other than it's dangerous to sit on your couch. No, actually, it's not dangerous to sit on my couch.
No.
Unless you're considered being obese danger. But, like, you know, you can also sit on your couch and then you can go work out later in the day.
So meanwhile, as Roger Goodell is trying to defend the game of football, which, as I've said multiple times, the opposite of what you did yesterday is what you should be doing. Okay, don't say you can get hurt on your couch. Just come out and admit football's dangerous. We all know this. Football players know this. Players, I talk to players all season long. They get it now. We're away from the days of where guys like really did not understand the long term effects of playing football.
Yep.
We get them now. There's so many examples. So just admit what the game is, as long as the players understand that and are still willing to play the game and make that sacrifice, which most of them are, by the way, then it's okay. Then we can all move forward. Yes, continue to make the game as safe as possible, but if they understand what they're getting themselves into, it's okay, and then keep playing the game, and we can all enjoy it. There's no reason to go up there anymore and do a disservice to,
right? Just call it as it is, man. It's
like
very
you're,
it's very simple.
You're basically lying by saying stuff like that.
312-981-7200. There are a lot of people. There's dangers on couches, Adam. You see, I told you that we were going to get a lot of dangers out there.
Okay.
Steve, you got danger on your couch?
Well, you can get pregnant on a couch.
That's a good point.
You could also get pregnant on the football field. I mean, hey,
if you do it the right way, you could.
Right, Steve? I don't know how creative you are, but I could see a scenario where it's, you know, in the middle of the summer and you're walking by Soldier Field and they leave a gate open and you're with that special someone and all of a sudden you say you want to have a historic moment in time. Huh?
Maybe on Family Night at the Bears.
Family Night at the Bears. Thank you, Steve. 312-981-7200. Danger on couches. You can get pregnant on a couch.
That's a great point. I love the call, Steve. Love the creativity. I guess that makes couches dangerous. I guess it does.
Let's get one more. Greg, danger on the couch. What do you got, Greg?
I've gone to parties and seen people get really drunk, go sit on the edge of the couch and fall right off.
Yeah.
And hurt their tailbone, break their tailbone. I mean, it can be dangerous.
That's a great point. Right?
Good point. I would imagine playing football drunk is dangerous, too.
True.
I don't know, though. But
another
good point, though, Greg. Great point. Couches are actually more dangerous than I thought.
Strong point, Greg. 312-981-7200. I knew it. We could find something. And some people are saying that we're missing the point. We can do that coming back. Hey, there's one other. Okay. I want to get a little discussion going on with you, Adam, about where the game is going moving forward here,
okay.
Right? Because the game's always been dangerous, but there is new stuff out there, and there's a lot going on around the game, and Raj is trying to defend it, and, you know, this is Super Bowl 50. Will there be Super Bowl 100?
630 says, couch danger. I spilled hot chili on my, let's say, groin area.
Ooh.
Yeah. While wearing a bathing suit.
Ooh.
Steve the Mailman texted that in.
Speedo, Steve the Mailman? Send another text. We want to know if that was a Speedo look for you, which I think you can pull off without having seen you.
So, I think you could do that. And there's a lot of things going on in that text now that I read it a little bit. Like, Why are you wearing a bathing suit on a couch?
Eating chili.
Eating chili.
Actually, I think that guy's winning
like,
in life.
Chili. Chili's actually a favorite of mine, and I'm not even kidding when I say this. I literally have chili on the in the slow cooker right now at home.
Yeah, we're gonna.
I'm not kidding, but I've never eaten chili while wearing a bathing suit. I can safely say that.
We will at some point today get into how properly to digest your Super Bowl, if you will. What's the proper eats and treats? And Hogue's got his own way that he wants to watch it, which is offensive to all of us. 312-981-7200, starting out with Dangerous Couches, the state of football. And where's the game going?
720 WGN. Back here on The Beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen with you.
A lot of good texts coming in here. The only thing dangerous about a couch is losing the remote control in between the cushions from the 847. It's a good point. I mean, if you lose the remote, that could cause a lot of stress, which could lead to high blood pressure, which could lead to a heart attack, which could lead to the end of your life. Great point by the 847.
My son likes to take the remote and drop it behind the couch.
Uh-oh.
So it's wedged between the wall and the couch. And fortunately, Daddy has long arms and he can still reach down there and grab it, but it's annoying.
Roger Goodell thinks that couches are just as dangerous as football. If you're just joining us, henceforth, the dangerous couch conversation on 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen.
I would say this is among the top five most important conversations that have ever happened on this radio station.
No, I thought you were going to say this show. I'm glad that you included the whole station.
No, the entire history of WGN.
Which is a long history.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some pretty important people that have sat at this microphone. Actually, considering that, it's amazing that they let me and you sit here.
It's true.
How is that possible?
Someone made a mistake.
312-981-7200, dangerous couches. Mark is missing the point from the 630. You are now on the air. Mark, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, well, first of all, I'm so glad to be part of such an important conversation in the world of sports in the history of WGN.
I know, it's a big moment, Mark.
Your privilege, Mark.
This is great. So I want to make sure we're not missing the point. I certainly don't want to sound like I'm defending Roger Goodell because I'm not a huge fan of his.
You're not off to a great start, but go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
I think maybe what he's trying to say is that there are dangers in sitting on a couch, maybe not saying they're the same dangers that would be part of playing football, but like, you know, not getting exercise and diet. I mean, that's kind of how I took his comments when you played him on the radio.
Right, and Mark, you might be onto something there, but there's like a lot of things you can do in life to get exercise outside the game of football, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and Mark, I'll concede that. Look, he was trying to make a point that there's other dangerous things out there in the world, and I'll agree with that. But saying that something else is dangerous doesn't make football any safer. You know what I mean? It's just a distraction method, and I think it's really doing the game a disservice when in the same, I don't want to say same breath because this thing went on for 45 minutes, but the first thing he said when he got up there was how important it is that the game is getting safer, and then literally, it was like 20 seconds later, oh, by the way, we're going to play more games on Thursday night.
Hey, Mark, do you have sons?
I do, yeah.
Did you encourage them to play football?
My oldest son, who's the one that would have probably played, was not. He was actually claustrophobic when he put his helmet on. He couldn't handle it. We couldn't figure out what it was. He was younger at the time, and we had him at the practice. You know, when they picked the teams the first day, and he couldn't. He was freaking out every time he'd get out on the field. We took him off. I'm like, "What's wrong, buddy?" Like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. And we figured out that he couldn't handle the pressure of the football helmet on his head. So I've never had to deal with that. But my wife, I'll tell you, my wife was glad that neither one of my sons wanted to play football. So, and I personally never played it. You know, I played flag football and stuff. I played baseball throughout high school and college. But I was certainly glad that I didn't play as well now that you find out about all the problems with concussions. Although I wish I never would have pole vaulted because I did land on my head and suffer a horrible concussion in college from pole vaulting.
And that's, Mark, great call, man. We got, what do we got for Mark?
Mark, you want to go to the auto show? We got a pair of tickets to the auto show if you want them.
Sure.
All right. Stay on hold. We'll get you set up with those. Pair of auto show tickets February 13th through the 21st at McCormick Place, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank member FDIC and the exclusive bank of this show.
And listen, I'm not recommending anybody live their life in a bubble. And if you want, if a kid at, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, who's not an adult by any stretch of the imagination, if he really wants to play football, well, then if it was my kid, I would let him play football. I would try to steer him away from it. But if at that point, and I've, you know, he's 7, 8, 9 years old, I've introduced him to soccer and basketball and tennis. And
James already has a basketball hoop.
Right. And listen, cross my fingers that I do get there someday and have a son. I mean, he will have a tennis racket in his hand by the age of 6 months. And we're going to be...
Let's be careful about that. That could be dangerous.
Well, Serena Williams and Venus, Richard Williams was like having him do sit-ups at that point. I mean, he's already training him. Okay, 6 months is a little extreme. Before he's 3 years old.
Because James has a mini hockey stick, and that thing, he starts swinging around, whacking the dog in the head with it.
Well, then now that's those are real issues. And by the way, when I say son, that tennis thing applies to daughter too. Any sport for that matter.
Absolutely.
Male? Yeah, we're not. I'm not keeping this gender specific here. We got. I need athletes. It's going to help me relive everything that I didn't get to live. I'm going to be one of those, but I'm going to be not somebody that screams at their kid. Like I'm not going to be the bad parent, but I am going to, you know, let's go. Let's get some athletic stuff going on.
Athletic stuff. Okay.
It's important, Adam. We need this.
Speaking of what's going on at the Super Bowl, I don't know if he was at the press conference yesterday, but he is boys with RG1.
He does love you. He'll never say a bad word about Roger.
Jared Payton is coming up after the 3:30 news, which is coming your way in a couple minutes.
Live from Levi's Stadium? Is he at the stadium right now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He might be. We'll find out where he is.
Okay.
He's somewhere in the San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Clara, Oakland, Sacramento, Northern California area.
I'm imagining him taking pictures with his shirt off on the beach looking at women. That's what I'm seeing in a very non, you know, just enjoying himself way is what I'm, you know. He's a married man and all.
JP joins us coming up. 720 WGM. Get the jams going for Jarrett when he comes on. What's up, JP?
We show Jarrett Payton a lot of respect on the show just when we come up with this type of music for him. JP, what's up, dude?
I was excited about that one. I mean, I never get to hear music like that.
Jared, when am I going to see your pretty face in the studio again? Next week?
I don't know if it's next week. I just know it's coming soon. I
just miss you.
I'll be there on Sundays. We're just trying to figure out how the logistics are going to work from doing the show, the CLTV show from there. But we'll figure all that out. But for right now, you guys have coats on. Probably when you leave the studio, and I am like got short sleeves on hanging out here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I just said that my vision is that you have your shirt off, you're on a beach, and you're checking out the action and doing all sorts of stuff on your phone. Anything? Am I anywhere close to that?
Well, I have been. Like, I've been going so crazy on my phone since I've been here. It's been unbelievable. I brought two phones with me, two iPhones with me for this weekend because. Like, I have one phone for, like, Snapchat, which I just started on, which I'm going crazy, and everybody tonight will be able to see everything behind the scenes on the red carpet through Snapchat tonight. So, at Peyton Sun, just like my Twitter account, and I'm just going to be going off and just meeting everybody. I got off the elevator yesterday morning to get breakfast, and Drew Brees is standing there, so I just put him on Snapchat. He's like, yeah, I'll jump on. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Okay, I just brought up your Snapchat. The first person that popped up on your Snapchat was Roger Goodell, standing right next to you.
Yeah, he's like standing right next to me.
That's your guy.
It's pretty, you know, nowadays it's weird because we have so many different social media, you know, platforms. It's like, how do you choose? But, you know, you just got to have fun with it. Put things out. I'm actually sitting in the hallway right now. And my sister, Brittany Payton, and her Benson and her husband, Jordan, are just walking into their room. We're all about to get ready to head out to the NFL Honors.
I mean, what a life, honestly. I want to be you for a day, JP. I do. JP for a day. Just
well,
one day.
And for those who don't know, you're there, you're working, you're actually doing a lot of work, but the biggest reason you're there is to help give away the Man of the Year award, correct? And you go out there every year to do that. It's a great, tremendous honor. So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about the three finalists this year, and it's given away tonight at the NFL Honors, which I believe are being broadcasted on CBS, correct?
Yes, tonight is CBS, and it's gonna be great. I have to just kind of thank the NFL and Roger Goodell for everything that they've done. I mean, I've been going to the Super Bowl since '99 and giving away the award, and it wasn't as big as it is now. It used to be just like, oh yeah, you won the award, and now there's a luncheon. They're trying to make this pretty up there at the same level as the MVP award, which is always great. But you guys have seen it at the night of the honors. I mean, this is the award that guys want to win. I mean, they want to win this award. And so Benjamin Watson from the Saints, he is one of the finalists. Good guy. One of the good guys. Does great things in the community in New Orleans. And then you have a guy, Anquan Boldin, who was up for it last year. The loss of Thomas Davis, but, you know, what he does for kids in here in San Francisco is just unbelievable, giving back money and scholarships for kids to go to college. And then Eli Manning, just a great guy, comes from a great family. His dad, Archie, was and his mom were there yesterday. He got a chance to meet them at the luncheon. And just great people. Nationwide Jump Bar is a sponsor, and so that's why it keeps getting bigger and bigger. So three guys. One of them is going to win, but all three of them are very deserving of the award, and we all say are winners in our book.
JP, let's talk about the game. Who do you like? And I guess if we're going to, on the other side of it, like, I want to know who you like, and I want to know how you think they win. Let's start there.
I love you, Carv. I do. I love you, man. You're just the best. Every time you come out with your heart, and you always speak with your heart. I got to go. If I'm going to go with my heart on this one, I'm going with the Panthers.
How well do you know Ron Rivera?
Pretty well.
Okay.
I mean, he's good. He's close to close with my mom. I mean, I see him every once in a while, but and talk with him every once in a while. But my mom stays in contact. You know, that whole 85 Bears team and the wives, and they all are just really, really close. So my mom still keeps in touch with them a lot. But we, you know, just watching what he's done. I mean, I said this earlier today. I did another radio show this morning. You guys didn't mean to cheat on you, but I was talking about how.
Which one was this one?
I forgot. It was. It wasn't even in Chicago. It was somewhere else.
Okay, that's fine. Else.
But we were talking about, you know, when you're just destined, you feel like those years where there's a team, and I was on one of those teams. Like I've had that feeling before, where you just feel like everything is going your way, and like no matter who you play. And that team might be good. They just can't do it. I just have that feeling about this Panthers team. I mean, they're that to me. What Cam does and what Cam is able to do, kind of defeats of what you know, the Broncos are so good at doing it, stopping the run. But can they stop it also with Cam and running the football and the read option? It's a lot to ask for. You have to be very disciplined as a defense, and I think they can be. But I just feel like there's so many different ways that the Panthers can beat you. And don't sleep on their defense as well.
Just like the 2016 Bears, right? Team of destiny.
That's, you know,
if they win seven or eight games, I wouldn't be like, I mean, that's like the playoffs for me. So we'll figure it out. I mean, I'm cool with that.
You know that if Carolina wins, they'll be one of three teams in the history of the NFL that's ever gone 18-1. That would be the 84 Niners, the 85 Bears, and then your 2015 Carolina Panthers, which segues me, JP, into the 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears, because I do want to know your thoughts about. I mean, I was weeping by the
Patriots go 18-1.
No,
they lost the Super Bowl.
Well, and won the Super Bowl.
Oh,
Yeah. So there's only. I mean, the Dolphins, 70 Dolphins, of course, went 17-0, but that was a 14 game regular season. So this would be the best record in a 16 game schedule. What do you think of the 30 for 30, JP? And I mean, obviously, your dad was a huge part of it, and I don't know how you felt about that, him getting as much attention around the non-touchdown.
I really enjoyed it. I had a great time watching it. You know, it was funny because I was able to tweet and do stuff more after this time because everybody was watching it. And then just the reaction of talking with like Mike Singletary during the whole thing, it's just, if that was cool to me watching it. It brought out a lot of emotions and things that I never knew about, especially with that 85 team and listening to the experiences of why they were so great. Yeah, one thing that was missing out of that whole entire thing was, you know, not hearing my dad's voice and, you know, be a part of it, yeah. Which I think was hard.
No doubt.
But come on. I mean, I know all these I said it yesterday. It's hard. I get it. Everybody said, why was he so upset? Listen, my dad was a competitor. He loved playing the game of football, and he worked so hard to get to that moment and to that time to win a championship and be a part of it. He didn't play his best game. I mean, he's a perfectionist. That's what he wanted to do. And so it's hard to tell somebody who, you know, has worked so hard for something and been great at something to basically have one of the worst games ever in one of the biggest games of your life didn't sit right with him. And I don't think it would at all. And I don't know if it was more of the touchdown. I think it was just more if he was upset about the way that he played and that he didn't have the game that he expected himself to have. But after in a long time, as after we talked about it down the line, he was cool with it because he won a championship. So when I saw it in there, I knew it had to be in there. I just, for me, I hear it every single day. I was kind of like, I hope they don't bring it up, but they ended up bringing it up anyway. So it's all good.
Well, JP, did your dad over time kind of come to realize that while maybe the stats weren't there, that, I mean, the way the Patriots played that game, I mean, they put all their attention on him. So while he might not have had his greatest game ever, he still was a huge part of winning that game in the fashion that they did, blowing the Patriots out.
Yeah, I think so. I think after he really, Hoke, he looked at just the entire year. I mean, you look at, you know, his stat line for the entire year and what he did. I mean, he was still a big part. Even though his defense was unbelievable, I mean, over 1,500 yards, I mean, that's, no walk in the park, man. That's, you're putting in a lot of work with like over 300 some carries, man. That's, he did everything he needed to do. And I think once he really understood about the championships, and we're having close friends who played in other sports who didn't win championships, like Patrick Ewing, and like he would talk about that. He said, you know, I never wanted to be looked at just as a guy who played and never won and being one of the great ones to play and never win. He's like, now I don't have to say that. I won one. Now I understand that. I think once you grasp that, everything was good.
Jared Payton with us on the beat right now. He's out in San Francisco getting ready for the Panthers and the Broncos and the Walter Payton Man of the Year coming up tonight. One other thing that I learned from the 30 for 30 that I didn't know about. Number one, actually there's a ton of, that I didn't know. I didn't realize they wrote a letter to keep Buddy.
I didn't know that either.
Which was incredibly
cool.
I didn't know that. And then the other things that I didn't realize, and it was very well publicized at the time, but I didn't realize there was so much animosity between Buddy and Mike, like, and just that the team was, it was, you know, Jimbo Covert's talking about body slamming. Who did he take down?
Mongo. He
took down. I didn't realize there was such a division on that team. That was interesting,
isn't it? I mean, and then you start to really think about it. Think about how great they were, and even with all that turmoil, they still found ways to kind of like get past all that. And I mean, you have those times and being in locker rooms where certain things happen. Yeah. Sometimes that happens, you know, where it's like the offense and defense. And that's where you talk to guys, you know, sometimes you don't even see a lot of the defensive guys because you're always so focused on the offense during meetings. But man, they found a way to be able to come together and make it work and to win a championship. And to win anything is tough, but to do it in the NFL and doing the fashion that that Bears team did, it makes it even the storyline that more impressive. But come on, you guys, tell me, you look at characters, right, for a movie. When you cast a movie, you're like, dude, this is great. Like, I just watched that O.J. Simpson, the People vs. O.J., and like how they casted it with the people. You're like, wow, like this, they did a great job casting this. There is no better cast. When you look at the NFL, if you're doing a documentary on any team, that's better than this 85 Bears team. I mean,
no doubt.
Listening to these guys talk in the end, it got me again sitting here in San Francisco when I saw Mike Singletary. He just can't read that letter. It just, it hits me. And I just got chills now because of how powerful he was and his relationship with Buddy. Was just magnifying about how much knowledge he has about the game of football. And I'm hoping that he gets a chance to be another head coach once again, because the way that he's putting in work now and talking with him over the last 2 weeks, he's been working so hard, putting in the time to get back into a gig where, when he does, this time he's going to be more prepared than he was the first time around.
Jared, I could talk about the 85 Bears and your dad forever with you. Love it.
You're the man, JP. We will talk to you tomorrow. We have got a couple hits with you tomorrow as we get up close to the game. We'll be on from 3 until 5 tomorrow, taking you up to the Super Bowl with the local pregame show. And, Jared, of course, you'll be with us tomorrow. Appreciate you, my brother.
Peace, guys. Have a good night, man. I'll see you guys later.
You too. I know tonight's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
All right. Jared Payton at the Super Bowl. He is giving away the most important award tonight at the NFL Honors. It's what it is. I mean, they gave, you know, the NFL Honors, they do MVP, blah, blah, blah. But the Man of the Year award is really the big award of the night. And he does this every year.
How cool is that?
Let's just think about the people that Jared Payton's going to hang out with tonight. Like, I'm not kidding. Go to his Snapchat right now. I don't know how many use Snapchat.
Can you instruct people how to do the Snapchat? And when I say people, I mean me.
Well, I don't really know what I'm doing on here. Jarrett was actually the one that made me get this like 2 weeks ago. And the only thing I've been able to figure out is how to watch his videos, which actually right now I'm having trouble with. I can't even. Yeah, see, I don't know.
Why do I feel like Snapchat is like borderline adult entertainment? It just seems, I feel like it should have been named something else. It's a little too racy for me. Maybe I'm just getting a little more prude as I advance in years here.
But his,
is anybody feeling me on that?
I think it might be if you use it the wrong way.
Anyway,
I'm not kidding. I clicked on his Snapchat, and the first thing that popped up was Roger Goodell standing next to him.
Listen, the man's, he's a VIP. He's a JP. He's involved with, he's with all the head honchos in the league, and he's well respected by him too. I mean, like when they were here for the NFL draft over the summer, Jared and Roger were, I mean, they were doing bear hugs and the whole thing. It was like they have like a real relationship, or at least a real like fake relationship, if that makes sense. Because how close can you ever be to a guy like Roger Goodell? But like it seemed like Roger, really liked him.
They do have a real relationship. I wish I could be that close to RG1.
Do you? Would you like to be tied with a Raj, hang out, have lunch, talk, like that, be able to call up, that's my guy?
I would love to have his phone number. I could text him right now and be like, hey, Raj, what's the most dangerous couch in the world? Tell me.
See, like, I'm good with not being friends with Goodell. I'm all right with that one. There's a lot of guys I'd like to be friends with who are, you know, in positions of prominence, yeah. But he's not one of them.
When we come back, there was a very sad story. It's a sad story in the NFL. It's an ongoing story, and it needs to be addressed. We'll talk about that next here on 720 WGN.
WGN, this is The Beat.
You recognize the bump?
No.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, another death.
Another death. Every single week we are talking about a death in the music business.
Just keep my guy Mark Knopfler alive.
Maurice White passed away this week. So we are now on a run. By the way, it is February 6th today. So if my math is correct, there have been 37 days in the year of 2016.
That's very impressive, Adam. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31. So 31 plus 6, I believe, is 37. Very good.
I think that checks out. Maurice White has left us. Paul Kantner, the co-founder of Jefferson Airplane, which we discussed last week, has left us. The week before that, Glenn Frey, co-founder of the Eagles. We went all out for that. Love the Eagles. And David Bowie a couple weeks before that.
See, aren't these things supposed to come in threes? Now we're at four.
Yeah, we're at four, and there is no sign that, unfortunately, there's no sign that it's stopping. 2016, not kind to the music industry so far.
They'll bounce back.
People that have died?
No.
Or the industry?
The industry. Okay. So I feel like...
I don't think that David Bowie's bouncing back.
Well, he's in a better place, Adam.
I agree. I just don't think that the bouncing back part's coming.
Actually, I can't quite say for certain that he's in a better place because I haven't been there yet, and it's kind of fun to be here. I prefer to stay here myself.
Yes.
I'm not sure what's coming next, but I like being here.
Here's another guy that we hope bounces back and stays here.
Yeah, he's actually become a sympathetic figure, shockingly.
I think he has a little bit, and I have crushed him from day one
when it comes to
his football ability.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
Who I believe that we brought it up on our show last week. I think this came out in time that we actually discussed it, but he was investigated by police last week in Texas, in Fort Worth, for another domestic incident, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the latest is, you know, Dallas police, they announced, this was last night, they're launching a criminal investigation into domestic violence assault.
Oh, so they are now?
Yep.
So then why did they say 2 days ago that the case was closed?
I don't know.
That's bizarre.
The move comes a day after police say they had closed an investigation, but, they're opening it up because his ex-girlfriend, and her name is Colleen Crowley. I say that without any guilt because that name's out there. So, anyway, she wants this investigation.
Good.
Received an assault complaint Friday. It was January the 30th. Manziel was listed as a suspect. His parents have tried to check him in, apparently, to a rehab facility. He's left twice.
Yeah, and let me just say, look, the problem here is that Johnny Manziel obviously has some substance abuse issues. And I think this has gone from an obvious alcoholic to stuff that's more severe. And it needs to be, unfortunately, he went to rehab last year and it obviously didn't take. And it's too bad to see. I have lived my life around people with substance abuse issues. A lot of people have out there. Almost everyone has, right? It's very common. And all you want to see is a guy get help and get over it. Because when that happens, it's a great story. And I said this to my wife yesterday, and I didn't mean this to be, come off harmful in any way. This story is going to make for a great 30 for 30 film, whether it ends in
it's a true.
Great way or a sad way. And it's going to end one of the two ways. And I hope it's the great way. And I don't know if that means he's ever going to come back and be a good football player, because from day one, I have said I don't like him as a quarterback. I don't think he's a very good quarterback in the NFL. And I don't think he ever will be. But I'm just hoping his dad said something very startling when your own father is saying this. But he said if Johnny doesn't get help, he is not going to live to see his 24th birthday, which I think is coming up. I forget when it's coming up, but sometime in the next year.
Within the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when your own father says that, you obviously have some major issues that need fixing.
Right. We didn't think that we would be giving Johnny love on the show, but at this point it's like, hey, man, we're rooting for you. Get your stuff together. Take care of yourself. You don't want to see that happen to anyone. I wouldn't want him on my football team, but certainly would like to see him recover. And you know, hey, maybe he can be a quality backup quarterback in the league. News is in 2 minutes here, and then we'll have Wildcat Insider Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's athletic director, will be with us to start the four, and also Bryant McIntosh, their star point guard, who actually I think could go down as the best player in program history. It's possible.
Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider.
On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
Wildcat Insider, indeed. Welcome back in to the beat, 720 WGN, as we have Northwestern discussion for you for the next half hour. Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's outstanding athletic director, the best athletic director in all athletic directors. I like Jim. I like kissing up to you. It's comfortable for me. So I'm just gonna do it like that. Thank you for taking time out. Big win earlier this week against Minnesota. Before you answer that, Adam wants to say something to you.
Yeah, Jim. How do you spend a Super Bowl Sunday usually?
Good question.
You know what? I'm going to go over to our president's house at Northwestern, Morty Shapiro, and my wife is in Phoenix with our two daughters at a soccer kind of jamboree this weekend. Okay. I have the boys with me. In fact, I have two of them right now on Welsh Ryan Arena court, and they're just shooting some baskets here. So that's kind of the weekend. I was in the office a little bit earlier today, but that's how I'm going to spend Super Bowl Sunday, over at the president's house.
All right. Now, that leads into a very important question. What will you bring to the president's house? I mean, is that you can't come empty-handed here, doctor.
No, we're going to bring some dessert. So we've already made a run over to Baker Square. So I hope they're a WGN sponsor, because I just gave them a plug.
That's okay.
And so we got the country apple pie. We have the French silk. Mm. And and we have the pumpkin pie. So we have a variety of pies for the masses tomorrow afternoon.
That's a good job. That's an outstanding.
Now I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry. Dr. Jim, I was over at Coach Fitz's press conference at Harry Carey's on Wednesday for signing day. Another class comes in. Last week when we talked, we weren't really able to talk about the specific players yet. But one of the things that Fitz said that really stood out to me, that I loved hearing from him, and I don't know if enough coaches do this to the degree that, that Fitz obviously has, but he said that he has learned over the last decade, really more in recent years, how important it is to not only evaluate the player, but evaluate the parents too. And he even said, he went as far as to say, if we don't think the parents are right fit, we may punt on a player. That really stuck out to me as a good thing. And I, again, I don't know if enough coaches around the country look into it as much as obviously Coach Fitz and his staff do now.
Well, here's what I would say to you. I don't think it's ever been more complicated, the relationships between parents and kids and parents and coaches and kids and coaches. I just think with all the social media that goes on, with the, some of the circus events that you see about really building kids up, whether it be football or basketball, you know, the letter of intent is a sideshow, which is fine, and it's a great moment for that young man or woman, depending on the sport that they're signing. But I think Tom Brady had a great quote this week, and he indicated that, wow, you know, the way it's handled now, it really sets a kid up for failure. And I think when you read into that is, it's probably going to go downhill from the press conference, you know, from the signing date. Maybe it doesn't, but, you know, when you're always the best in high school and you're the best player on your travel team in AAU circuits, it's the dose of reality coming to the college level is tough. And when you don't have success right away in college, that leads to some tough times with parents and coaches and kids and coaches and kids and parents. So, it's a really serious dynamic. Fitz has always been big on that, but I think you're seeing that more and more across the country. And you're not just recruiting a young man or woman, you're really recruiting their family, and they have to fit your institution.
Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's athletic director, with us here on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. He's Adam Hogue. What's your thoughts, Jim, on when you see a kid at the table having his own press conference and maybe he's got a couple hats up there and he says, well, I'm going to go to... Like, to me, it kind of makes my skin crawl, to be honest. I don't know. It's just too much. It's crazy to me. It's like you're not going to the NFL or the NBA. You're going to college. Do you have the same reaction?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just not a fan of it. I understand it, and it is a great moment for that young man or woman. But you also have some really disappointed people that have spent a lot of time and a lot of money recruiting an individual, going into that high school, going into that family's house. And, you know, I think there's a graceful way to break up with somebody. And I don't think it's meant for TV. I don't think it's meant for the public audience. I think it's meant for a private phone call or a private discussion. And in the end, you know, you choose a place. But when you throw those factors out, and if you don't really care that much about the other folks that have recruited you, then I think maybe it becomes a little simpler to do it in that fashion.
Jim, let's talk about some of the other sports and some of the activities going on right now with Northwestern. I know the women's basketball team got a nice win over Illinois the other night. Lacrosse, your great lacrosse team season starting up this week. And in basketball, men's basketball, nice win, dominating win over the Gophers the other day to end that losing streak. And Bryant McIntosh, who we're about to talk to right after you, set the single-season assist record, which was nice, too, and it was just good seeing Coach Collins' team get back on the winning side.
Yeah, Adam, Mark, you guys know winning does the body good and does the team good. And we had gone through that gauntlet stretch of those four straight ranked opponents, and we played well in one of those games. We didn't play very well in those other three games. You know, the Maryland game, we really – a game we could have won, and we're disappointed about that. But the schedule was the schedule, and for us, last Thursday night was a really good opportunity for us to get back on the win track. But you never know, because the Big Ten and all conference games, it's just who plays well that night. So to get a big victory, to see Bryant break Tim Doyle's assist record, and Bryant only being a sophomore, means a lot. But I think the player of the game was Trey Dempsey. He had 23 points, 8 rebounds, and you have to have that from a fifth-year senior like him. So we're back on track. A big week ahead, going to Columbus on Tuesday to play Ohio State, and then a big rivalry game next Saturday against the Illini. So no looking back, and you know, too much celebration over the Minnesota win because it's on to Ohio State and then Illinois.
Yep, and that Ohio State game, I got that marked down as a W on my still alive path to the tournament here, Dr. Jim. Just,
I love you.
we got to have it. Absolutely have to have the Buckeye. You had Nevin Capel on campus this week. She's a leader in LGBT inclusion, and she was there for 2 days. Can you, addressing staff and your students, the whole thing, can you talk about that a little bit, Jim?
Be happy to. Listen, this is a place of higher learning and higher education, and I think what's really important for our staff is the culture that we provide and support our student-athletes with. And LGBT or religious views or ethnic minorities, you know, or ethnicity, beliefs are to be supported and to be embraced. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to join a certain religion or sexuality, but I think what's important is to respect, embrace, make sure people feel welcome. That's what we try to do within our department, whether it's staff or whether it's student athletes. And it was important to have Nevin here. She's the leader in that area, but she's no different than the other speakers that we've had that have come in here. It's about education, and this was a great teaching moment. And I really feel, Mark, that our department got better having her 2 days, and that kind of inclusive mentality. That's the way of the world that we live in today, and I think it's just important to embrace and to be inclusive. And not to put up barriers that don't need to be there. So Northwestern Athletics got better. Our student athletes had a great session with her for 90 minutes. She talked about her story, and I'm proud of what we're doing as a department.
And maybe we can actually get Nevin on the show one of these weeks. That'd be awesome to have. Hey, before you go, Jim, I saw a major issue on Thursday night's game, and I think you need to address the entertainment staff. You were trying to get on the court to shake the hands of whatever team was out there, and you got entangled with some major cords, and it was like at least a 30-second process. I was worried about your well-being. What we got to do something here.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't end up on, you know, sports bloopers. But I was slow to get out of my seat, and it was a special group. It was just our Special Olympians were there, our Special Olympic Olympians, and I was a community group from Evanston, and I love those kids. And I tried to get through the sneaky way at midcourt where the BTN cameras were, and I should know better because I usually don't do that. And I got my foot tangled up on one of the television cords, and I'm disappointed you saw that because I was hoping nobody saw that. Oh, and I'm glad I didn't suffer an injury because I'm not the most athletic guy anymore.
Well, usually you're very elusive because I've seen you go in a dead sprint down the sidelines at football games and blow right past me as you got to get to the far side of the field for one of those in between honors. It's fun seeing you move around like that.
This was not his best moment. This was a struggle.
This was a real struggle. But nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Well, enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, Dr. Jim. Appreciate you coming on the show again, and hopefully it's another successful week of Northwestern Athletics.
Adam, Mark, great to talk to you guys. We'll see you next Saturday.
At Welsh Ryan.
At Illinois. Yeah. And as always, go Cats. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Dr. Jim Phillips, Northwestern's Athletic Director. Coming up next, we got Brian McIntosh in a minute, matter of moments.
Absolutely. And as he kind of hinted at right there, we're doing our show from Welsh Ryan Arena next Saturday.
Very exciting. Cats in the Illini.
720 WGM.
WGN, the beat continuing. This is the Wildcat Insider portion. Going out to Northwestern and bringing in their sophomore starting star point guard, Brian McIntosh, joining us on the line. B-Mac, where are we getting you? You in mid-run? We got a little win factor here. I feel like you're working layups right now.
No, I'm just downtown a little bit. I'm outside, so... if you can hear me okay, this should work out okay.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we're good. We got you, Brian. So congratulations on setting the single-season assist record in Thursday night's win over Minnesota. Man, it's still early February, so for you to do that this early in the season, 159, you eclipsed our man Tim Doyle's old record of 157. But congrats on the mark.
Thank you. Yeah, it was truly an honor, and I mean, just a lot of credit goes to my teammates for, you know, just knocking down the shots and the coaches putting me in the right position. Without them doing that, this record wouldn't be possible.
We just talked to Jim Phillips, and he said, and I think we all know this in sports, the morale factor of just getting a W sometimes is so big, and you guys have played some tough games recently. And just to get that win over Minnesota, which was really a dominating wire-to-wire win over the Gophers, that had to feel pretty good and get you right back on the right track.
Yeah, it certainly gave us a lot of confidence just knowing that, you know, we came out and handled what we needed to. We took care of a game and got a win finally. It had been a couple weeks since we have got a win. So it was just big from a confidence standpoint, especially in the tough Big Ten league that we're in right now.
Brian, what do you do to keep yourself in as tip-top shape as you have to be in to do what Chris Collins has you do? I mean, you bring the ball down, you initiate the offense, you run through, you come back, you get it. And a lot of times you're guarding one of the premier players on the other end. I mean, there's a lot on your plate. I'm curious, you know, how do you keep yourself? What's the strategy about being ready to go through a Big Ten season? Because it's got to be challenging.
Yeah. In the offseason, that's where the conditioning and getting into shape and getting ready for the grind of the Big Ten season. And then during the year, I have to be smart. I try and stay off my feet as much as I can. I get treatment as far as getting in the cold tub, and I got to make sure I'm eating right. And, you know, it's a process every day and making sure I'm doing the right things in order to play at the level I'm needed for my team.
He's Brian McIntosh, the point guard at Northwestern. How would you describe the season for you? Because you've certainly had some great games. Let's see, the game against my alma mater, Wisconsin, comes to mind. You were just dominating the Badgers that day. And then maybe some tough games here and there, but you had 20 the other night. So for you, what is the biggest thing you're trying to work on? Is it just trying to get more consistent across the board from game to game?
Yeah, I think that's the toughest part. When you play in such a great league, it's really easy to get your play to go up and down as far as your production and everything. So I think that'll be my next step is becoming more consistent each and every game and, you know, growing as a leader.
Brian, I don't want to put too much on you, but I was at your first game last year. It was an exhibition game, and you were all over the court, and I turned to whoever I could turn to at the game. I said, that guy is going to go down as the greatest player in Northwestern basketball history. I mean, that's what I said. and I like to be proven right. Have you set goals, anything like that? Because, you know, I want to be able to sleep well at night, and I feel like you have the potential to do it. I mean, you've had an incredible amount of success already, and I don't see any reason why you can't just keep on going up.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. But as far as an individual standpoint, I don't worry about stuff like that. I think as long as my team continues to win and we continue to grow, I think, you know, it'll be what it needs to be. And as far as that stuff goes, it goes from that's all an opinion. So, you know, everyone's going to have a different one. You know, the best player in my mind is Scherner right now. And, you know, that could change one day. Or, you know, there will always be people that will argue that he'll be the best that ever come through. So, you know, as far as me being the best player, I don't put a whole lot of thought process into that. I got too much going on.
Well, speaking of that, then, who's the best player in the NBA right now? Because I know you love Steph. Are you putting him above LeBron, just for conversation's sake?
Yeah, I put him above LeBron. I think he's earned it, especially the year he's having. I think he's his production, his consistency every night, and his team's winning. You know, I think they're on pace to beat the Bulls, so I think that would be really incredible.
And you were at his camp this summer, is that right?
Yes, yeah, I was able to work out with him and watch film and just be around him, and I learned a lot in that short 4 days that I was in California, and it was an incredible experience.
What was the biggest takeaway from being around Steph Curry? I mean, what an incredible talent, and how hard he works, too.
Yeah, I mean, he works really hard. His passion for the game is something that really stuck out to me, though. You're talking about a guy who had just finished an NBA season, played in the NBA Finals, obviously won it, but, you know, they were telling him that they wanted him to rest and not participate. Well, the first day we get into a scrimmage, and all of a sudden he's walking out, and he's got his shoes laced up, and he's ready to play. And, you know, I don't think his agent was too happy with him because, you know, his contract's coming up and they want to make sure he can stay healthy and everything. So, but, you know, just his love for the game, he wanted just to get out there and play with us.
Well, Brian, congrats again on the assist record. I know you got a lot more coming in your Northwestern career. And we appreciate you joining us today. Enjoy your Saturday in Chicago downtown. I know you don't get too many weekends without a game. So
yeah, go get the Buckeyes on Tuesday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Brian McIntosh, Northwestern point guard.
We will take a break. Come right back. We have some more discussion on kind of the state of college basketball right now. Back here on the beats.
Shantae is so much better than Mike Jacobson.
Yeah, her music is.
I just feel so much better about my life. Thank you, Shantae.
She brings you, she makes you upbeat in every segment, right?
And chill.
Like, Jacobson's just playing like, we love Mike Jacobson.
We do.
He's so mad at us right now. Mike Jacobson, by the way, our great producer, is not here today because he is doing some great charity stuff for veterans.
Good for
his family does everything.
Good for the Jackal.
We love him, and that is much more important than producing this show.
You're Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Carmen. This is 720 WGN. It's The Beat.
And we just had a nice conversation with both Jim Phillips, the athletic director at Northwestern, and Brian McIntosh, who is the point guard for Northwestern's basketball team.
Did I go too far saying to him that he's going to be the best player in the history of this school? I think he was very uncomfortable.
I think he had a very nice comeback by saying John Scherna.
Did you see what John Scherna's doing, by the way? I know this is way too...
Doesn't he have like a... I saw a picture of him. Doesn't he have like... He looks like he was Tom Hanks in Castaway for a year.
Right.
He has a beard like he's been stranded on an island.
For those who don't know, John Scherna used to play ball for the Cats, and he was, as Bryant said, probably the best player in the history of the school, although there can be debate there. Anyway, he's playing in Italy now.
If Kevin Coble had finished his Northwestern career...
Yes,
he would have been up there.
He had a chance, and there's an Evan Eschmeyer running around.
That's true.
And there's you could. There's,
Tim Doyle is probably calling me right now. I'm just kidding.
Right. Well, and then you go old school, Billy McKinney, all that. Anyway, regardless, Scherna's playing overseas, and he's on some team in Italy, and they had won like 5 games in a row, and he said, "I'm not going to shave my beard until we lose." They ended up winning 26 in a row, so he legit, as you just said, he looked like Tom Hanks Castaway, and he was just like dunking on people with this, I mean, fur down to his knees. What a great look.
Yeah, it's insane. Anyway, Northwestern right now is probably easily the best college basketball team in the city right now, unless am I missing something?
Well, it's interesting. I was, you know,
because this is, you wanted to bring this up, and I think it's like a fair point. I feel like we end up talking about this every year, but for as good of a basketball city as this is, and it's a great basketball city, I love high school hoops in this town. I'm not in touch with it as I used to be, but it's still a great scene every single week. And then you get to the college game, and it is just sad how the programs in, and I'm going to group Illinois into this too, even though it's a little bit, you know, 2 hours downstate. Because Illinois is a whole separate discussion right now, and it's frankly inexcusable. Injuries. I don't want to hear about it. That program should be way better than it is right now.
Well, it's just, you know, I was looking at it, and so Northwestern right now, and I agree with you on Illinois, Northwestern right now has an outside shot of making the tournament. It's an outside shot. They are... number 104 in the RPI, and basically you got to be in the top 50 to make the tournament, because if you are from a lesser conference but you win it, those bids go, and so you got to be in the top 50. The Cats are 104. You look at the rest of the state. Southern Illinois, 115. Illinois, 117. Northern Illinois, who's having a good season, by the way, but they haven't played anyone. And they've lost some games to teams that are not great. 136.
They could win their conference tournament, though, and get in.
They have a shot. DePaul, 140. Illinois State, 141. And then Eastern Illinois, 235. Loyola, 263. Western Illinois, 273. Chicago State, 344. And I stopped there and didn't find where UIC is at, because they might be the dead last. Whatever it is. we don't, of all the schools in the state, we don't have one school, one, in the top 100. How, and like, you mentioned high school hoop, right? I mean, Charlie Moore, who's one of the big-time guys going right now, he's choosing to go to Memphis rather than play.
Derrick Rose did it.
Right. I mean, how is Memphis, like, I get it if you're going to Kentucky or if you're going to Duke.
But the problem is this has gone on so long that these kids don't care about any of these teams here. What connection do you have to DePaul right now?
None.
If you grew up in the...
None.
I mean, my only connection growing up here to DePaul, because it was right after their glory days, was that I lived in Lincoln Park. But here's the problem. They played in Rosemont.
Right.
So even if my dad wanted to be like, hey, son, let's go walk over to the arena and watch some DePaul hoop. No, you have to drive out to the airport to go to a game. So, and that's just one example, but it's... And by the way, DePaul did have a nice victory over Providence this week that we should mention.
They did. Number 11 in the country. It was a big-time night for the Demons. They haven't had one of those in however long.
But and ironically, I live now 5 minutes from I almost called it Rosemont Horizon. It's Allstate Arena. Now I live up there, and I've since we moved up there 3 years ago, I haven't been to a single DePaul game.
Well, you could do a lot of sports. I mean, you're a little bit overwhelmed, but that's sad, actually. It really is.
And one night I went to the Target that is literally 5 feet away from the entrance to Allstate Arena, and there was a game going on, and there was no traffic. There was no, like, you got to be, sometimes if there's a concert there, you got to be careful driving around that area. But I was like, was there a game going on right now?
Yeah, and here, 312-981-7200, if anybody's got a solution. I mean, one of the things that, and if, I'm just, actually, just a real basic question, does anybody care? Because one of my sports dreams is for the Northwestern basketball team to be in the tournament. That's like something that I go through every single season right now, along with Dave Bennett and now Joey Meyer.
But, and they're on that way. So I'm almost like excluding Northwestern from this conversation because they're one of the few programs that is clearly on the rise right now. And I don't know if it's going to be this year. Unfortunately, they have fallen off from where they were, you know, a month ago in this conversation. But it's coming. It's coming, and I said going into this year, I thought it would be, you know, 2 years from now. A lot of people thought it would be this year, but it is coming. Just like the Cubs World Series, it's coming.
See, now you realize what you're saying, like, and I want to believe you. I do, and I do think it's coming. But, and the Big Ten, what's bad for Northwestern right now is that the Big Ten's down. This is a year where if you're ready to rise up, I mean, the Cats were super close for a bunch of years under Bill Carmody, but the Big Ten
super
was...
Super close.
Yeah, I mean, they were right there, and they had injuries at the wrong time, and the Big Ten was really, really strong.
They were close enough that if they grabbed, like, two more rebounds against Ohio State or Michigan in those home games that year, they would have won those games.
Right, they had Jared Sullinger company beat. So they were right there. And now they got a lot of talent and they're young, but they're still coming. 104 the Cats. Southern is ahead of Illinois, which is really hard to do when you're Illinois and you actually play a Big Ten schedule and you're going up against teams with, you know, the RPIs that are in the Big Ten.
And let me bring up a point with Illinois, because you just asked the question, do people care?
I'm wondering if they do.
Like, when Bruce Weber was the coach, it was like, I want to say for 3 straight years, it was like, is Bruce Weber going to get fired? Should he be fired? It was like a big conversation in this city. I'm talking about up here. It's a different world down there. It's a different bubble down in Champaign. But the point I'm making is, they haven't been in the tournament since 2013. And they're not going to go this year, obviously. So they've missed in the tournament 3 straight years. And I realize they've had a ton of injuries. That should be unacceptable there. And shouldn't there be a pretty major conversation going on about John Gross's job status right now?
Well, they got to hire an AD first, right?
Well, and that's the other part. I mean, this whole situation down there is a mess. It's a mess, and it is. It that's the right word for it. And I don't get the sense up here that people care. I think there's an apathy towards Illinois athletics right now.
Well, and this is what I'd like to see. Give me a tournament at the United Center or at Welsh Ryan or whatever, playing in Champaign, rotate it around. Northwestern, Southern, Illinois, Northern, DePaul. Have it be, you know, how, whatever, a week-long thing. Eight teams in there. Play it to the, something along those lines, just to get some form of juice going. Maybe you could play it at the Pavilion. I know there's a bunch of options where you could play. It doesn't really matter. And I'm not saying that's...
Play it at Rahm's new DePaul Palace down by McCormick.
Right, play it at the Rahm Palace. Great, great investment. It's good that...
I think that's a good nickname for
it. Glad the city's overflowing. Yeah, the Rahm Palace. I'm glad that we're overflowing with dough here, that we can just build stadiums for a team that no one's going to go see. No disrespect even to DePaul. I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just ridiculous. But regardless, and I'm not saying that a ton of people are going to go, but at some point they will.
I would go to that.
It would be fun.
Yeah,
And I think you could build something from there. There's one little Bill Self, former Illinois, I wanted to give a lesson on how to coach college basketball to one of the best college basketball coaches. Are you going to allow me to do that?
Yeah. Are we going to take a break here?
Yes, we are. And okay. Then I'm going to instruct Coach Self how to...
Because I think we disagree on this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do.
And I think you're going after a guy who is just trying to do a good thing.
Well, okay. Well, we're going to talk it through next.
You're a bad guy.
I think... No. Well, maybe, but not in this case. 720 WGN. This is The Beat with you till 6:30. Blackhawks hockey coming up tonight. Blackhawks on the road at Dallas. Judd Surratt will be with us right after the 6 o'clock news. Bulls, of course, on the road as well tonight. No Jimmy Butler, but we'll get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. So let me just, Adam, if I may. Adam Hogue, and I'm Mark Harmon. This is The Beat. Okay, so Bill Self, former head coach of the University of Illinois, left for Kansas. Some Illini fans are still upset about that. He went to a better program. It's really dumb. You would do the same thing. So Bill Self and his Jayhawks beat Kansas State this week. Why am I bringing this up? Bill Self had a player by the name of Brennan Green who clearly needs some coaching, some parenting. He's been a kind of a problem kid from his entire career there. Brennan Green has the basketball with 3 seconds left. It's a 15-point game. All of Kansas State and pretty much the rest of KU, they all start going to the scorer's table to shake hands. Brennan Green runs in and dunks the basketball, which is something you should not do.
Right.
But like K-State basically didn't even care. Bill Self goes to the press conference and apologizes to Kansas State for the poor sportsmanship, then goes on the local radio show and says it was the biggest D move that he's ever seen in like the history of the game. Torches this kid in public. And by the way, the kid was wrong. But I'm just sitting there looking like, hey man, like this is a 19-year-old kid who I don't know his background, but clearly acting the way he's acting, he hasn't gotten perhaps the best leadership. You're his coach. You can bring him into your office. You can make him run. You can bench him. You can do a million things. I just had a little bit of a reaction to going in public on the radio, at a press conference, TV stations. It's all over the internet and torching a college kid.
Well, let me go halfway with you on this.
Okay.
Because I think it needed to be addressed in the public. I think it needed to be addressed publicly after the game in the press conference and apologize to Kansas State for it happening, because you never know in today's age how much this is going to be a big deal. And if you don't apologize, then the whole team looks dumb, right? So, but the whole second part with him going on the local radio station and saying using comments as strong as what he did, that was maybe a little bit too much. And maybe you save that for behind the scenes when you're scolding the kid in the locker room or whatever.
Why can't he just, you know, go to Kansas State behind the scenes and say, hey.
It needs to be brought up. Absolutely. And by getting out in front of it, it makes Bill Self look good.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think Bill Self's trying to make himself look good at the expense of the kid.
Are you saying that he's Bill selfish?
Perhaps in this scenario, yes. Like, okay, I know you want to protect your program, and I know you want to make yourself, you know, look like Johnny Bill Self, if you will. But I just don't like to me, there's got to be a line where, hey, a professional player acting like a fool, okay, get right up there and torch him and talk honestly. A college kid? I just don't see it. It's too. It's just you're in a position of trying to build this guy up to be the most successful in this case, Brandon Green, that he can be, whether it's in the NBA or it's working for a corporation or whatever he's going to do in his life. I mean, you have a responsibility there. Torching him in public, I don't get it.
All right, we got to get to news here. Real quick, though, I want to jump up to Bob in the news a little bit. What is going on right now in Lake Geneva? Because we have a texter from the 847 that is texting in photos of cars that are like sinking in the Lake Geneva.
Yes, I may have seen some of those same photos. So they have the annual Winterfest up there in Lake Geneva. And some people have, even though there's a sign in one of the photos that says driving on the ice, you do it at your own risk. So some of these, they're fairly close to the shoreline, but cars have parked on the ice and have been partly submerged, like maybe not quite halfway, but about a half a dozen or so, at least according to the pictures I've seen on several of the Milwaukee TV websites.
Is that good for a car to be partly submerged?
I don't think it's good for the car. Looks like no injuries have been reported so far, luckily. But yeah, there's a big winter fest. They do the snow sculpture and sledding and stuff. And some people decided to park on the ice, on the lake, and suffered the consequences.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a very bright move, especially on a day like today where it's warmer and it's sunny out.
What is this, risky business?
I don't think I would do that with my investment that I'm paying a lot of money for.
I mean, my investment is going to fall in. It's not worth much, and I wouldn't do that. Five o'clock hour, 720 WGN. Adam Hoge is a problem. It's very, very important that everybody listens intently right now. And it helps Ho get through his life, because I don't think I can do it alone. Thank you. This is The Beat, 720 WGN.
What is my problem?
Well, you've explained. Tomorrow's the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50.
I don't have a problem.
You do have a problem. You have a legit...
It's not that big of a problem. Are you talking about the Super Bowl parties?
Yes. You've been invited.
All right, so it's like tomorrow is an American holiday.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm working.
And I actually support... I support those petitions that are out there to make Monday a day off in our country, the day after the Super Bowl.
At least a half day. Like nobody should have to be in the office before noon. It's just going to be a solid half day.
I've also liked the idea of moving the Super Bowl up to 3 o'clock. I've heard that thrown out there.
Wouldn't mind a 3 o'clock. That'd be fine with me, like an early start. Go ahead.
Anyway, everyone goes to Super Bowl parties. And I have found over the last few years, though, that my favorite way to watch the Super Bowl is by sitting in my basement. Not necessarily completely alone, but at least like with a smaller crowd, with like my wife, son, and my dad. Where the point being that I can hear the game. I can actually hear and watch and enjoy the commercials. Because the problem with some of these big parties is you can't hear the game.
No, people are talking. They're having a good time.
Everyone's talking. They're not really paying attention to the game.
They're eating pizza. They're having Lou Malnati's, right?
Exactly. And so if you actually want to... And the nice thing these days is that you can go on YouTube literally right now and actually watch most of the Super Bowl commercials before the game even happens. But I like to enjoy the whole experience that way. But to me, the point is that the game is on the TV. That's what the part, at least for me, that I enjoy. I guess there's a lot of other people that just like the idea of a party and go out and drink and eat and have good food. Maybe some buffalo chicken dip, which is always a great side dish.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I've been invited to a couple parties. I actually have to work, so I can't be going to any of them. But I would love to be at a party and not paying close attention. Just, you know, a minor attention. And then I think the time that you pay the most attention during the game is actually during the commercials. The game itself you can sort of half pay attention to, but the commercials are huge.
I like the commercials.
You like the commercials.
I'm a commercial guy.
And you want to hear...
I want to hear them as it's happening. Part of the experience is not to go on YouTube and click on each one. You want to see them unfold and be like, ooh, I wonder if the next one's going to be funny. Ooh, no, okay, I wonder if the next one's going to be funny. Oh, that one's not funny either. Oh, I wonder if the next one... Like, and even if they all suck, it was still fun.
Who goes Hermit Hoge Super Bowl?
Hermit Hoge.
312-981-7200. I'm looking for hermits like Hoge who want to be in his basement by himself. You will allow the wife and the son down there, huh? And your dad.
It's not that I want to be away from people. It's that I want to be away from a ton of people where I can't hear the game.
Could I come? Would I be invited, or would I be too much of a distraction? Because, you know, if I was there, I'd be dancing around. I'd have a couple thoughts, and I'd want to engage you. What's coming up on the show this week?
Let me get back to you on that one. I'm not sure.
I mean, I would change that dynamic. I wouldn't, to be, in the scenario that you just painted, I would not invite me. I think I could.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would either.
Right.
312-981-7200. What is your favorite way to watch the Super Bowl? Do you like to be at a big party? Do you prefer to be at home where it's a little bit quieter? You could actually hear the game.
I stopped in one of the grocery stores in the city today, and they have the whole spread out there. Buy this, buy that. I mean, guacamole's available. We got a little queso, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it was really like some huge displays. I mean, I think what food you have is a key component to what goes on tomorrow.
It is a key component. Also, the television is a key component. And this is something I need to talk about, because if I do have a problem in my life, this is it.
I think you have a problem with the hermit thing.
I didn't go. Thank you. I didn't go out to buy a TV for the Super Bowl. I don't even know if I'm going to be home tomorrow for the Super Bowl, because I haven't decided yet if I'm going to a bigger party or staying at home. However, I did try to take advantage of the deals you can get the week of the Super Bowl on televisions. It's a great time if you're going out and trying to buy a TV. So we've needed a new TV for our living room. This is not our major, down in the basement watch sports TV. It's just we need a new TV for the living room.
Okay.
It just needs to happen. We're at that point. So, do you know about 4K technology? Ultra high definition.
I'm an expert in technology. You know this. No, I have no idea about 4K technology. Tell me.
It's like an ultra nicer. The picture is even clearer. You can notice it. It's actually pretty sweet. Okay.
How can there be a better picture than the one they've already come up with, honestly?
Trust me, it is impressive.
Like, I feel like Peyton Manning's in my living room as it is, but okay, fine.
The problem is, so you can go out and get a really, actually these days, a regular HDTV, pretty cheap.
Yep.
I mean, we're looking like a 40-incher for the living room, and it's like $300.
That's amazing.
It's crazy, and for a decent one. Now, if you want this 4K technology, you're probably paying about double, about $600.
Okay.
But you're also paying for, like, I'm telling you, in 3 years from now, everything's going to be in 4K.
4K. That's the new thing? What about 5K? When's 5K coming?
There's actually such thing as an 8K.
There's an 8K?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if it's ever going to get to that point.
What about a 10K? Is this like the iPhone? If you buy the 4K, how do you know that? Like, if you're going to sell me on going out and getting a 4K, I got to know that it's, like, at least legit for, like, 5 years.
It's going to be legit. But here's what happened. Okay, so we were just going to concede and get the regular HDTV.
Okay.
Okay. The guy, though, at Target says, hey, I got this open box version.
No, this is your first mistake.
Of the 4K. And it's like on sale for $450.
So you got the shady Target guy.
He wasn't shady. He was very helpful. He was very helpful.
Okay, you got this.
Buying the open box TV, which means someone has returned it, right? But they do certify and say, hey, this thing checks out. It works.
Certified open 4K TV. Okay. Versus?
So I take it home. We ended up buying that one because it was a great deal. So I take it home and plug it in, press the power button.
Doesn't work. So
it doesn't turn on. It didn't even turn on.
How do you call me out on calling the shady Target guy with the open box saying he's not shady when
how does he know if the TV that's in a sealed box doesn't work?
Oh, please. Come on.
He didn't know.
He knew.
All right.
That dude knew.
But here's the problem. So now, because I did a lot of research on this, and at first I wanted a 4K TV, and then I was like, we don't need it at this point, because there's actually not that much 4K content out yet. So once I went as far as to buy the 4K TV, when I went to take it back, I'm like, all right, I need the 4K TV.
Well, hold on a second. Have you taken the TV back yet?
Oh, yeah. I took it back like an hour later.
An hour later?
Yeah.
Did you yell at him? No. I feel like to me that's an element.
How are you blaming the guy that's on the floor?
Because
he has no idea if the TV turns on or not.
He knows.
He's not the technical guy in the back that's supposed to inspect the TV.
Hold on a second. The TV's been returned. It's open. It's clearly
open. It's resealed. It had been a previously open box. That's what they call it. And they marked down the price because it was open.
Honestly, if I was a salesperson, I would just love to deal with you. You are my dream guy. I think I could sell you anything. But I appreciate the fact that you trust people.
Let me tell you why you should be nice to that guy. Because the problem was, they're obviously not going to give me the clearance price on a brand new TV.
Yeah, no, they're giving you the bargain basement, this TV doesn't work price.
Right, but I'm returning it for a brand new TV.
Ooh.
Yes. And obviously...
Oh, high five. Did you get the brand new TV for that price?
No, that's what...
Oh!
Will you just listen?
I get so excited.
Jesus! You're driving me insane right now. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to do. Go ahead.
So... He feels bad because technically they can't give me the clearance price on the broken TV, right? On the brand new one that had never been opened before. So, you know, he pulls a couple strings, brings the price down a little bit for me. So he did help me out. You know why he helped me out? Because I didn't go in there like a lunatic screaming at him like it's his fault when it wasn't.
No, you can't go.
I was nice to him and it paid off.
How much did he give you off?
Ended up being 25%
off. 25%
off.
Okay, fine, you win.
Yeah.
You win. Listen, you're living your life correctly.
I'm not done with the story yet, but we should talk to Chad.
You want to talk to Chad? All right, let's talk to Chad. Chad, are you a hermit like Adam Hogue?
Hey there, Carm. How you doing? Hey, Adam. Yes, I am here in defense of Adam.
Thank you.
I think in the last 5 Super Bowls, I've watched them with like 10 people combined total.
Yeah.
And not only do I like to hear the game, but I like to see the game. When you end up at parties, you got people in your way. You start conversations you don't want to have, and we all love sports. You guys love sports. I actually look forward to it, and I don't want to be in stupid conversations. I want to watch the game.
Thank you.
Chad, do you have a lot of friends? How would you consider yourself a friendly person?
Actually, I'm okay, not to be cocky, but yeah, I'm friends with a lot of people. When guys hit me up for the game, I'm like, I'm going to be at my house on my couch. Come by if you want.
Well, Chad, for being at my defense, which I really appreciate, I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Parallel.
How's that sound?
That's nice. How have you guys been? I appreciate the pizza.
You're welcome. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Appreciate that.
Chad just hung up and did not get his pizza. Well, Chad, you should call back.
Chad.
Chad, in order to get that, you need to call back and talk to Shante. There's a fan. Look.
By the way, Chad, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Chad feels like I feel like we know Chad. Do we know Chad? Do you know Chad? I don't know Chad. I feel like I'm in.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that might have been Chad Maxwell. In which case, he can't win the Lou Malnati's. I don't think.
That's why he hung up.
Fine.
Didn't
still
sound like
Chad.
Chad Maxwell.
I don't know. Anyway, so I get the new TV, and now I have like gone way past the point of the regular HD TV. I really went in there for. I make impulse purchases. By the way, you should know that about me. I do that sometimes.
And yet another reason why I want to sell things to you. But that's great.
Okay.
If you get excited. Live your dream.
So, I take the TV home, the new one. It turns on. Great, great thing. It turned on. It works. It works. Except, do you watch Netflix?
Sometimes, yes.
I'm a big Netflix guy.
House of Cards.
And it's for the limited amount of 4K content available right now. Netflix is the place to be because they put all their series and some movies in 4K.
No, they're killing it.
So, this is a smart TV, which means Netflix is built into the TV. You could just click on it and watch. It won't work.
No.
So I probably...
You could turn it back? Return?
48 hours goes by, and I bought this 4K TV, and I had, at this point, had not been able to watch a single piece of 4K programming. Which, as you can imagine, had me doubting my purchase. Right?
I would think so, yes. Adam...
So here's what I did, because you have 30 days to return TVs. I don't know if you know this, by the way.
No, I do.
You can go out and buy like 5 different TVs, try them out, and return 4 of them, as long as you return them in time.
I mean, people are texting in, A15, I bought a 50-inch TV for the Super Bowl, plan to return it on Monday. I mean, people do that
stuff. So my dad brought that up yesterday. Do people do that?
Yes, they do.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because it's a lot of work to go out and get a TV, install the thing, and then bring it back. I mean,
it's not that hard.
That's a lot of
effort. You just kind of keep the box intact, and when you take it out, and it's...
Yeah, but it's heavy, and...
Because here's what I did. Last night, because the other 4K TV I was debating was a Vizio, I went out and I bought a Vizio.
Now you have another...
I have 2 TVs in my house right now. One of them's getting returned. The Netflix works on the Vizio.
So okay. That's...
Because here's the thing. What's good is this nice TV that works if the Netflix part of it doesn't work?
No, you need the whole package if you're going 4K. By the way, the 630 loves 4K. 4K rocks. The only thing better is a 3D 4K TV.
I'm not a big fan of 3D. I don't know. I just think it's a little annoying. I don't want to wear the glasses.
See what I'm holding here? I got a Samsung S3 phone that's got cracks on it. You know what happens when people call me on this phone, Adam? I talk to them and it works, and I have no problem communicating. Why does everybody need the most up-to-date thing? This guy works just fine.
Actually, for phones, I don't need the up-to-date thing. I don't really care that much about it. The thing is, what with the 4K, if you're making a purchase, though, wouldn't you think that you should kind of future-proof yourself as much as possible? Like, if you're making an investment like a TV, that's an investment.
It is? Yes.
So shouldn't you protect yourself against the technology that's coming in the next couple of years?
Are you trying to get me to justify your purchase? Is that what's going on right now? Something like that's going on. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. You want me to...
You don't have to do anything. If you want to tell me I'm an insane person, that's
no, fine. Listen, I want you to have the best TV viewing experience you can possibly have in your Adam Hogue basement where you want to watch the Super Bowl by yourself and take in as much data as possible. What will you... Let me ask you this. Did you watch last year by yourself?
My wife is there. See, the problem about last year was we had a big, giant snowstorm. I think a lot of people probably ended
that's
up watching
true.
At home.
That's true. Last year, that was a little bit. Tomorrow's going to be good travel weather. What do you think you're going to do tomorrow? When we leave here...
We have a show, by the way, 3 to 5 here, Super Bowl pregame.
Right. When we leave at 5 o'clock, make a prediction on yourself. How well do you know Adam Hogue? What will you be doing at 5 o'clock
tomorrow?
Well,
here's the other thing. Because we're on the air till 5, if I go to a Super Bowl, I can get to my house in 30 minutes. No problem. I can be there by kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to a Super Bowl party, though, I'm going to miss the first quarter getting there. Because I have to go home, pick up my wife and kid, then go to the party.
Not going to want to do that.
So now I've already missed the first quarter. Then I'm going to get there. I love people. But the game's going on. I don't need to, hey, how you been? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. I want to know, what are Peyton Manning's stats?
I support you watching.
And even halftime. I want to watch halftime. I want to watch Coldplay.
Coldplay's going
to
be great.
Hey, let me say this about Coldplay. We need to take a break. But I don't know how good the music performance will be.
Yeah.
They're going to put on a show, though. Because I've been to Coldplay concerts, and they're pretty deep. Like, even at the United Center, it's a pretty decent show. So for the Super Bowl, they're going to go all out.
Well, and you also forget about Coldplay. You got to be home for the national anthem and Lady Gaga.
It's true.
I mean, I think that's a... Let's not bury the lead here. Good old lady coming out.
I don't
out.
Get that excited about the national anthem.
Yeah, but it's Lady Gaga. What's she going to be wearing?
But what's she singing?
Forget about what she's singing. Just you got Gaga coming straight at you to start the day. I think that's awesome. All right, quick timeout. 5:30.
312-981-7200. How do you like to watch the Super Bowl? We still have that Lou Malnati's to give away because it was Chad Maxwell.
Oh.
It was. We have confirmed.
Chad Maxwell is confirmed. Chad, we miss you. Congrats on all your success. Hopefully you're doing something successful. I hear you are. Through the grapevine.
720 WGM.
Just got a text from Patty Vasquez, Adam. Here's the 2001 JVC Tube TV on which we'll be watching the Super Bowl. That's what Vasquez is going with.
Wow.
That is dedication. To old schoolness. How's that? Way to go, Patty. I'm with you.
Dedication to being old school, definitely.
Love you, Patty.
Back here on WGN Radio, Adam Hogue and Mark Carman with you till 5:30. Got Blackhawks hockey coming up. Judd Surratt will join us a little after 6 to give us a preview of what's going on tonight. Judd is in the building with the Blackhawks on the road.
And a little breaking Bulls news as well. Jimmy Butler has been examined. The Bulls sending out a release saying he sustained a knee strain last night versus Denver. Timeline for his return to play to be determined by further evaluation. He will not play this evening. So if you were watching the Bulls game last night and you're a Bulls fan, you were worried that Butler would be out for the season. That is clearly not the case. Not playing tonight versus Minnesota, but perhaps on the court sooner than later.
And if you're not following the show on Twitter, you should be at WGN The Beat. Is our Twitter handle. You can find everything on Facebook by finding WGN Radio Sports on Facebook. It's a good way to find all of our content. We're doing a lot of new things this year. One of the new things we're doing, yes, this is a weekend sports show, but you can now get some new content during the week from The Beat with WGN The Beat On Demand. This week we did our first episode with Pat Tomasulo from WGN Radio Sports. He's hilarious. It was a fun interview that you and I did.
I really enjoyed talking to Pat. He was interesting and had a ton of energy, informational, incredibly talented guy.
And we're going to replay some of that for you right now. So if you weren't able to catch it this week on WGNRadio.com, here's a little bit with Pat Tomasulo, who was our first guest on our WGN On Demand.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Pat, I think you're maybe the only cool sportscaster in Chicago. That's no disrespect to anybody else, even though it sounds very much like that.
It actually sounded very disrespectful
but like,
to a lot of people.
I just like your – like, Pat's just a cool guy. He's got perspective. The rest of us, we're either nerds or we're arrogant or something. Like,
oh, Pat, so you're including all radio and television, too?
Sure, why not?
Wow.
I thought
it was just television, and my response to that was going to be because I'm probably the only one who's under 50, and there's a certain age where – coolness, like I'm right at the end of the coolness spectrum. The fact that you think I'm cool means you must be a real nerd if you think I'm cool
and arrogant. I got that part too.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to just I'm the worst kind of the nerd arrogant type.
Yeah.
Hogue, you
want? You're so arrogant. You didn't even take off your jacket for the interview.
Well, it's cold in here.
It's a nice jacket. I wouldn't take that jacket off either. Look at him. He's got his camel coat.
Yeah.
It's
a Power P camel coat that all the ladies love. That's why I'm single and.
It's a fancy one. He's got a zipper and buttons on that.
That's right.
But your jacket only has one or the other, Hoke, but he's got both.
I just have a zipper.
Are we on the radio? We can't see this coat, right?
No, this is still the radio.
It's just this coat.
Actually, this is a podcast. All right, continue on, Adam. Why don't you direct what's
going on
here? Yeah,
it's Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen from The Beat, and we're extending our show a little bit to the weekdays with this on-demand version. And Pat Tomasulo, of course, from the WGN Morning News is here with us in studio. What time did you wake up today?
Today I overslept a little bit.
Ooh.
So 2:30 is when I got out of bed. I try to be out of bed by 2 a.m., but today I was a little bad, and I slept until 2:30.
So you've already been up for almost 9.5 hours.
Yeah, that's true. That was quick arithmetic on your part.
Yeah, but let's dive into the way that Pat failed himself. Did you not intend to be up when your alarm clock went up? When you went to bed last night,
yeah, you're right.
It seems to me that you weren't committed to being your best Pat Tomasulo.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you called me on that. I mean, I was alluding to that. I did start the day off with a failure. It's not the way I like to start my days. I like to start my days off with a victory. You're right. I was a half hour late, and
this could be motivation for us all.
And as a result, I may not have been as prepared for my job today as I should have been. So thank you for holding me accountable.
No problem.
Thank you.
Back to you, Adam.
You're all about accountability today, Carb. So look, let's dive into this a little bit.
Let's dive right in.
I don't know how to.
What are we diving into?
I don't know.
A conversation?
It's a conversation. I know. I went pure cliche right there, right off the bat. You are, I don't know if what's the right word. Maybe
that's a bad way to start off a potential compliment. Like, I don't know how best to describe you.
I feel like you're mysterious in some ways.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I like that.
How so?
And I don't want, because you're very front and center on the morning news. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows you. It's the most watched morning show in Chicago.
Sure. And I don't believe there's not much that I leave to your imagination on that show.
But because
I've been naked on that show before.
Congrats.
I cannot say that about our show. No. I've never been naked.
Something to strive for both of us.
That's a good point.
Maybe that should be a little wrinkle in this podcast.
Be a lot of wrinkles.
Naked Wednesday podcast.
Naked Wednesday.
Continue on. I want to hear the rest of this psychoanalysis.
Mainly probably because of your your crazy morning hours.
Yeah.
I don't see you out and about all that much.
No. I don't like people. That's why.
Okay.
I mean, mystery over. I don't like leaving my home. I work enough. All right. So I do the morning show, right? And you see the animals I work with over there. I'm with those people 9 hours a day. And then I do stand up. So I'm with a completely different brand of degenerates on nights and weekends. And then I have a wife and I have a dog. And so when I have some free time, damn it, I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah,
we had dinner plans over Friday night, and my wife, thank God, is the same way. She's just as agoraphobic as I've become. And it got close to dinner time, and we're like, we got food in the house. What do we need to go out for?
I like that. That's great strategy.
Listen, here's the thing, okay? I like her. She likes me. We like all the same things. And so that's what do I need to go see other people for? And then anything I need, I have in my house. I got my TV there. I got all my stuff there. I got food, right? So,
You and I
I'm
are
not trying to be mysterious. No, I'm just lazy.
You and I are on equal wavelengths here, thinking that. Unfortunately, I don't think my wife is. She always wants to still go out when I'm thinking all those same things.
Yeah,
why do
you
got to
get
go
rid
out?
Of her.
Yeah, I think it's too late for that. We've
procreated. But that's, listen.
I think the child sealed that deal.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second here. What do you like? Like, I
don't like anything.
Well, you said home you've got everything you like. I want to know what a Pat Thomas does.
I like movies.
Uh-huh.
And I like TV.
Do you even like sports?
Of course I like sports. But sports fans can be a little insufferable at times.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. People think because I'm so indifferent about it that I don't enjoy sports. No, I enjoy sports just as much as the next guy. However, the sun will still come up tomorrow.
Thank you.
Know what I mean? Yes. Like I'm sad. I'm not sad. Maybe I'm disappointed for like a minute or two after a game. And then I'm like, I still have a job and a mortgage to pay. So I'm not going to be angry about things. But when I'm home, this is going to sound really nerdy and pretentious, but I like to work a lot. And then when I'm home, I don't want to really move. I like watching movies and television.
Makes sense.
And I'll play an occasional video game.
You seem very fit. Do you ever do you bounce into a yoga in the Pat Thomasulo homestead?
You know, funny you mentioned it. I have trifled with yoga in the past. I do like to exercise. I don't really have a set workout regimen per se. I usually base my workouts on whatever doesn't hurt that day. Because I have a lot of cumulative sports injuries over the years. So now I do what I feel like I can do that day. But yoga has been part of the rotation in the past. I know you mentioned that because I seem like a very centered.
That's right.
Calm guy.
Yes, presence.
So I get that a lot.
Being in the moment.
And I don't get excited a lot. And I'm very, I'm even. I don't go up very high, you know, and that's part of the yoga training.
But for real, to get up there and do stand-up comedy, you got to have some sense of you have to calm yourself some way, right? That's not free.
No, it's not exactly stress-free, but I think after a while, and a lot of comics will say this, I really don't care if this goes well or not. Ultimately, you do care. You know, obviously you care or you wouldn't be doing it, but when you get up there, you have to be like, I don't really care. If they laugh at me or not.
I'm okay either way.
Yeah, because my wife loves me and my dog loves me, so I'm going to be fine.
That was just a snippet of our very in-depth conversation with Pat Thomasulo, who I called mysterious, and I don't know if he agreed or not, but it was great talking to Pat, and there was like a 30-minute conversation. You can catch the whole thing on WGNRadio.com/sports and also on iTunes. Go subscribe to The Beat. That's where you can find these full shows. It's where you can find our interviews and our new on-demand episodes that come out during the week now.
I'd like to personally apologize to all the rest of the Chicago media by putting Pat on the pedestal that I put him on.
Yeah.
But I did mean it at the time.
You said he's the only cool.
I said he's the most cool person in all of Chicago media. Something like that.
Okay.
Do you feel offended by that?
I don't know. Pat Thomasulo is way cooler than me. I'm the hermit. Right, I'm the hermit hog that wants to watch the Super Bowl by myself.
Do you agree with me that Thomasulo's?
I like him a lot. He's a cool guy.
214 says I'm with you, Carmen. Hermit Hog is lying when he says he's a people person.
Yeah, I know.
This
guy crushed me. I know. Read the rest of it.
I didn't mean this to be an attack on Hermit Hog. I have respect for people that can entertain themselves and don't need constant attention.
By the way, I need to make it clear that I did not buy a TV for the Super Bowl that I'm going to return. That came up from a texter who brought that up, and apparently people do that. I am fully against buying a Super Bowl. Again, I don't even know if I'm going to be home for the Super Bowl. So if I bought a TV for the Super Bowl, that'd be really stupid. I took advantage of the Super Bowl savings this week. All TVs are on sale the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I didn't hear it that way at all.
Okay. A couple texters did, though.
It's okay. Listening can be challenging.
I did buy two TVs to see which one's better, and I'm going to return the worst one. That's fair. Don't you think that's fair?
Absolutely.
If you're going to spend that, make an investment like that?
Absolutely.
Don't you wish you could do that with cars?
I think you can do that with cars.
Well, you can test drive cars, but you...
But I get what you're saying. Yes, you can't bring two cars.
Driving a car
home.
Around the block is not a fair enough way of buying a car, in my opinion.
You're an informed consumer, and you want to make an educated decision. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Adam. It's okay. I'm with you. I support you fully in this particular instance.
Thank you. I love you. This is why I sit here for 4 hours on Saturdays with you.
And thank you to Pat Tomasulo for...
That was great. By the way, Adam Amin coming up this week on our On Demand episode. I don't know that a whole lot of people know an Adam Amin, but they should. Because, and this is why we're having him on the show this week, you're going to know about him in a couple years. This guy is a fast-rising broadcaster for ESPN. And he's incredibly risen in the last year and is only going up.
He's a very talented guy.
He's going to be doing some very important games in the coming years, I guarantee it.
Very, 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 very much with a lot of talent. Yes,
he's
absolutely.
He's a Chicago guy who came up through the ranks here in Chicago radio and is going to join us this week. We're going to talk to him about it on WGN On Demand.
Thursday afternoon. Podcast will probably be up on Friday.
By the way, also a couple sports videos you should check out, WGNRadio.com, as I get all the plugs in. Jared Payton, Dave Ennett, and I previewed the Super Bowl. You can still watch that. We also had an interesting discussion about signing day, too, so a couple videos there. We should take a break. When we come back, I have a question for you, though, Mr. Bull.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about the Bull.
Great. I think I will do my very best
Bulls
to answer
panic.
It.
This is 720 WGN. Shantae's still killing it with the music today. Way better than Mike Jacobson.
Hashtag the Jackal.
We missed the Jackal. He'll be back with us tomorrow as we do our Super Bowl pregame show here on The Beat from 3 to 5.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hoge. Jug Surratt coming up right after 6 o'clock with the Blackhawks preview.
And the Hawks playing 7 o'clock tonight in Dallas pregame right here at 6:30 with Judd Surratt. So plenty of Blackhawks coming up. I want to ask you about the Bulls, though, Mr. Bull.
Go ahead.
The Bulls are bad. And they're 5-10 in the last 15 games.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
They blew an 18-point lead last night to the Denver Nuggets, who are not a very good basketball team.
They had none of their players
playing. They did not have Jimmy Butler for second half, a little bit more than second half. They had no Pau Gasol. Who else didn't play last night?
Well, Mike Dunleavy didn't play. He'll be back. He's supposed to.
He hasn't played the whole year. You can't count Mike Dunleavy. So are you basically excusing them blowing an 18-point lead, which, by the way, they built after Jimmy Butler left the game, so that it gets rid of any kind of argument that they weren't good without Jimmy Butler. They built the lead without Jimmy Butler. Then they blew it. So you're saying Pau Gasol made that big of a difference they couldn't beat the Denver Nuggets?
Well, Pau and Jimmy, come on. They would have won the game with those guys, right?
They built the lead without Jimmy. And it's, without Powell.
I'm not saying it was.
And the Nuggets are terrible.
It's a bad loss.
They blew an 18-point lead. I don't care. You're an NBA team with an 18-point lead.
It's a bad loss.
Basically, the only team that can get away with that should be the 76ers.
Now, listen, what do you want me to say? It was a bad loss.
Well, here's the thing. The game ends, and everyone's just like, oh, well, they didn't have any of their starters, so.
Well, they didn't.
Oh, Derrick Rose wasn't on the court?
He played great.
He did. Why didn't they win the game then?
Well, hold on a second here, Adam. Cameron Bairstow started last night. Now, granted,
I saw that. I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on. Now, you only played 10 minutes. You're starting Cameron Bairstow, who, if he wasn't on the Bulls, might be in the D-League. You've got Etuan Moore, who's starting for you, who probably doesn't start on any other team in the NBA. And you got bench guys. Doug McDermott actually had a good game last night, but, I mean, come on. And Tony Snell, I mean, come on. And Kirk Heinrich, I mean, come on. Kirk Heinrich, by the way, was negative 17 last night, which I don't get into plus minus very much, but like when you look at everybody else,
when it's that bad, it's
I mean, it's
tough.
Horrendous. Bobby Portis was not great either. It's a bad loss, but listen, I really care about with the Bulls is Derrick Rose. Get Derrick Rose healthy, things change. And Derrick Rose last night was 13-27. He had 30 points. He had 9 rebounds.
Okay, but to me, that's even more of a reason why there should be concern about this team.
There is concern about the team.
Okay, well, so let's start there. Let's forget last night and all your excuses for a terrible loss in Denver.
I don't even know if
they're 5-10 in their last 15 games.
They're scuffling. It's a scuffling squad right now.
What do you do right now? I mean, Joe Colley had a pretty, by the way, hardcore piece this week on.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Mirotić, who I don't exactly think makes a huge difference.
But how do you fix this thing?
Oh, well, how do you fix this thing? I don't know if you can, for one, but if how do you fix it? Rose and Butler have to get on the same page, which they have been doing. Mm-hmm. Now Jimmy's got to come back healthy. If you're just joining us, the Bulls released that he has a sprained knee and his timeline to return. They don't know yet, but it's going to be
not torn.
Yeah, it's sooner than later. And they need to continue to develop, you know, the chemistry up front. And listen, Mike Dunleavy coming back, I know he gets a little too much publicity, but he will help. You got to remember, the Eastern Conference right now, I mean, it's so jumbled, it's unbelievable. The Bulls are the 6th seed right now, but they have the same amount of losses as the 3 seed. I mean, the Bulls are 27-22. Atlanta's the 3 seed at 30-22, along with the Celtics, who are tied with them also at 30-22. But they're also the 9 seed out of the playoffs, has 26 losses. So it's possible if they keep going south, they could end up out of the playoffs. But they could also
be
the 3 seed, which it's possible. I wouldn't bet on that. But
do you trust them to win any playoff series right now?
Yeah, I think they can. Sure. Listen, they would be playing right now, they'd be matched up with Atlanta. Can they beat the Atlanta Hawks? That's a coin flip all day. And if they won that series, then they'd be playing the Raptors, which would be a problem. Toronto's played very well. But
how much of this do you put on Fred Hoiberg?
Oh, some. I haven't yet to be impressed with Fred.
What specifically is the issue, though?
Because
that's what I keep hearing people say, like, oh, his Fred Hoiberg. What specifically about him being a basketball coach?
His substitution pattern leaves a lot to be desired. His ability, I think, to connect with the guys on the team and motivate them has been lacking. Not that they should need that, but there's some form of, listen, Tom Thibodeau, you may not have loved him, but they were going to play for that guy.
And I think the Bulls are going through an adjustment period that has just lasted way too long. It was natural that it was going to be an issue early in the year. I felt like you going from Tom Thibodeau to Fred Hoiberg, that's a big difference. And that is that's not something an offseason can prepare you for. You have to get through the grind of an NBA season. I think what's concerning is here we are in February now, and it seems to be getting worse, not better.
It's fine. That's fair. And they need to tweak the roster. They could use another wing or a guard, something to balance out all the big men that they have. But listen, you know, I mean, look at who's hurt right now. Noah's hurt, Powell's hurt, Mirotić is hurt, Butler's out. I mean, you take that amount of talent off any team in the NBA, they're going to scuffle.
That's true, but I would say for most of the scuffling period, they've had most of those guys except Noah healthy and then Mirotić a little bit. Gasol thing was just...
I'll wrap it up with this for you. Derrick Rose is playing very well right now.
That's good. That's significant.
Okay, he's gonna have one. He has 1 year left on his contract after this season. The NBA salary cap is vastly expanding. Derrick Rose is a tradable piece in the offseason.
I think so.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
That would be interesting to see. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll be right back. 720 WGM. Back here on the beat, Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen with you for another 20 minutes or so, going straight into Blackhawks hockey, and pregame will be hosted by Judd Surratt, who joins us right now. Hey, Judd.
What's going on, boys?
Well, let's talk a little about those Hawks. I have to say, overall, kind of a grander picture. I'm surprised they're playing as well as they are, or at least that they are where they are in the standings with all the turnover that they had coming into the season. I'm just really impressed. I'm impressed by Stan Bowman and the way he flipped this thing so quickly once again, and the great hockey operations staff they have there, and the way they had identified some talent to get this thing going. And obviously, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Corey Crawford's playing amazing, and that helps.
Well, I don't think anybody's necessarily surprised the way the core has played. And so you start with Corey Crawford,
right,
and the way that Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook have played here early in the season. And then obviously move to Jonathan Toews, and Patrick Kane is leading the league in scoring. Marian Hossa started to pick it up. I don't think anybody's really worried about Marian when the playoffs really begin. But if you look at some of the moves that they made, since you talk about some of the turnover, the question was, well, how would Anisimov and Panarin fit in? Fantastically. And then how would some of these guys that you had to fill in with, because you had some salary cap issues with the contracts to Taves and Kane kicking in, what would that look like? We've got some terrific contributions from guys like Arif Gustafson. You've got some guys that have come in from Rockford, like Dano and Rasmussen, Panic, who they acquired from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And now all of a sudden you've got a four-line rotation, you're playing sound defensively, and you're at the top of the Western Conference.
I'm looking around the league, and you know the Capitals have the most points with 78, the Blackhawks with 74, and then I was just trying to figure out, like, who are the top five teams in hockey and where do the Blackhawks sit? I mean, if you're breaking that down, do you put the Hawks at the top?
Oh, absolutely. I would say Washington is number one. I would say the Blackhawks are number two. The LA Kings would be number three, and then you might have a little bit of a dispute somewhere in the Eastern Conference. Is it the Florida Panthers? The Tampa Bay Lightning are surging again in many ways. The game that we saw, even though the Blackhawks were out of gas, I think, at that point, just before the All-Star game, they look almost exactly like the team that represented the East in the Stanley Cup Finals. They're a team that's virtually unchanged, by the way, from last year. I think they made one change, bringing in a kid named Eric Condra. So I would say, for me, that would probably round out the top five.
Are the Blues in your top five? Or
not at this point. Not at this point. But this is a team that, you know, it certainly is one that has to be reckoned with. They have been missing a very big piece for a long time, a kid named Jaden Schwartz, who is a talented, two-way, tenacious forward. He's had a long-term injury. He's just about to come back. And then the other piece that you have to look at, and we'll talk about it a little bit on the postgame show tonight, they have a defenseman on the back end named Kevin Shattenkirk, who will be unrestricted at the end of the season. Now, the Blues have a decision to make because they're going to be in the playoffs. They'd like to make a long run. Do you keep him? I think the belief is that he will test out free agency. He wants to see what his market value is. Well, if that's the case and you're not going to be able to sign him, maybe you move him. The Blues are a team that a lot of people feel needs some more skill up and down that lineup. It's a very good team. And then the biggest question, I think, for them is, what will the goaltending be like? Brian Elliott has been very good while Jake Allen has been out of the lineup. Jake last year was the guy who won the number one job when the playoffs hit, and he folded in the first round of the playoffs against the Minnesota Wild. But the Blues are a very good team, and they can certainly beat any of those five teams that we talked about in your top five in the National Hockey League.
He's Judd Surratt here in studio, pregame coming up for the Blackhawks at 6:30. Puck drops a little after 7 tonight. Getting back to the Hawks, what we all know this. I mean, the regular season's great. We've also seen the Hawks have bad regular season. Not bad, but not as great regular seasons, and then they're fine once the playoffs come. How does this team stack up in the playoffs compared to last year's team that won the Cup? I mean, what areas are they maybe missing? What do they need to fix before they get there to be able to make that same run?
You should be doing the postgame show. We're going to talk about this very thing. I think.
Well, give us a little teaser then.
Well, I think the teaser is, I think you would love to have somewhere in that defense another guy to fill the type of minutes that you got from Johnny Oduya. Okay. Eric Gustafson right now is in the top four and playing with Brent Seabrook. The question is, can he elevate his game and play at the playoff level? Because as competitive as the regular season is, the playoffs are a completely different animal, mm-hmm. as you described, whether it's the Blackhawks or some other teams like the LA Kings that can really turn it up once the postseason hits. You can never have enough defensemen when it comes to the playoffs. If they could add between now and the NHL trade deadline, which is February 29th, and you have to be able to make it fit, you'd love to be able to grab somebody in that top four. Then if you look up front, your questions are, okay, you lost Sharp, you lost Saad. I think Brad Richards isn't quite the same concern, especially the way that Artem Anisimov has filled in. But in Sharp and Saad, you had some proven playoff players. And as well as certain guys are playing in their roles in those top two lines, can they produce when the playoffs hits? That will be a question that will probably be put on the team and certainly something that we'll focus on for Artemi Panarin when the playoffs hit. Can he do what he's done in the regular season into the playoffs? Or can you get yourself a top six winger? Could you find yourself an Andrew Ladd who may or may not sign with the Winnipeg Jets? I think the theory in the past has been with the Blackhawks that they don't want to make massive changes. They don't want to change out a core piece and change the chemistry. They want someone like Antoine Vermette they can insert into the team, fill a role and not change everybody's chemistry and the way that the team operates up front. But that's something to look at here in the next couple of weeks.
And Stan has been very good at finding those guys.
What about bringing back a Dustin Byfuglien, who might be moved to? He's rumored like everywhere. I mean, he certainly knows what it's like to play here.
That's a possibility. I think as you look at the Blackhawks right now, I think your preference would be for a left-handed defenseman. Dustin is a right-handed defenseman, but they have enough movable parts that you could play Keith and Byfuglien together if we're going to play out the scenario along with, and then move Chalmerson back down to Brent Seabrook. You also have to make the money work. You know, the way that, you know, Dustin's playing out, you don't have the money to sign Dustin long-term. I think that's the issue with the Winnipeg Jets. They're trying to get a deal done long-term. And as far as assets going the other way, knowing the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets very well, Kevin Cheveldayoff, they desperately need skill, but they need it to fit within their salary structure and on their budget.
One more, I'm going to let you get upstairs to your cozy Blackhawk studio. That game the other night against Phoenix, was that last night or two nights ago? I'm like,
Two nights ago. It was Thursday.
It was so fun to watch. I mean, for a random game in February.
It was a home game, too. That was unbelievable.
With the crowd. Yeah. I mean, Eddie O was like, it's 75% Hawks fans here. But Joel Quenneville being as animated as he was, I mean, that was. I mean, we've seen him get angry before.
I don't think animated captures it.
Oh, my God. He was insane. He had a stick in his hand. He's in front of the players. Now, it cost him a 2-minute power play and ultimately a goal there, but that was fun to see.
I was surprised. Now, it doesn't surprise me that Joel gets animated behind the bench, because I think that that's sort of a window into Joel. He likes to say, nobody loves winning more than me, and I think that you get an idea of how much he wants to win every single night. He wants his team to go 82-0. But I don't think in my time watching Joel, and I've seen basically every single game that he has coached behind the bench for the Blackhawks, that I have seen him go as ballistic as he did the other night, especially within the context of that game. Early February, not a rivalry game. It's the first goal of the game. Obviously, we're in a regular season game. This is not the playoffs. But he went crazy after that goal was disallowed. And then I thought after the game, his response was relatively muted.
It's actually great leadership.
Well, they won the game.
They did. I think that's part of it. Yeah. He may have had a chance to see the replay. I don't know that for certain. The other thing is that the NHL and the officials are very wary. They don't want to get, you know, they don't want their guys who are wearing the striped shirts criticized. So I think he may have toned it down and realized, and I'm sure that the win was probably central, that he would like to tone it down and frame things in a much quieter tone.
Right. Well, and he had already made his point. I think he said everything he needed to.
I think he did
to.
It with an exclamation point. He underlined it. He did everything. He highlighted it.
I mean, I think it's just underrated skill to keep a team as engaged as the Hawks are when they've been on this long of a run, and to care about a game like to the level that he cared. I mean, that's actually showing, hey, guys, you know, I'm not taking anything for granted.
It's the first goal of the game, and I think what you did see, and the referee started to lose control of the game. I think I tweeted that out during the course of the game. Then they started to lose it on both sides because you could see the emotions that were injected into the game, and I think that the refs at some point needed to start to settle things down. They weren't able to do it. I think they got caught up in the emotions too. You could see what it did with Marian Hossa, because after he scored, or after that goal was disallowed, he was a completely different player in the final 40 minutes.
All right, Jeb. Well, thanks for coming down. A lot more in about 10 minutes on the pregame show.
Anytime, boys. Good to see you.
All right, that's Judd Surratt. We have Blackhawks pregame coming up at 6:30. Puck drops a little after 7. We'll come back, close things out.
Yeah, the Cubs made a move today. Huge. I know you're excited about it. I have to convince Adam that we have to mention this. I have a reason why it's exciting for you. Jake Arrieta back in the fold.
Yeah, you have a theory.
I do.
720 WGM. All right, closing things up here on the beat tonight. You have a quick Cubs nugget we got to get to before we get out of here.
Well, Jake Arrieta, the Cy Young Award winner for your Chicago Cubs, 22-6, 1.77 ERA. The Cubs and Arrieta avoiding arbitration. Arrieta was asking for $13+ million, and the Cubs were countering with closer to 7, and they split the difference. So he gets a 1-year, $10.7 million deal, which is slightly more than half if you split the difference towards Arrieta. And he didn't want to play it out. Now, the Cubs offer of $7.5 million compared to the 13. I mean, that was a low ball offer. I mean, it's at least the way I was looking at it. Like, there's
Well, that's how you negotiate,
right? But but you're going to an arbiter, right?
Yeah.
So Arias.
So did this go to an arbiter?
No, they
settled, right?
Okay. Right. So my point is that at $7.5 million that the Cubs are offering, and Arias is going for 13, right?
Yeah, he's probably going high.
Yeah, but he's probably going to win that in court, right? If it plays out
all the way to 13.
You think they?
He might have gotten more than the 10 he got.
Well, it's either one or the other. If it goes to court,
oh, I see. Okay.
It's either going to be 13 or 7. Seven and a half. I think he's winning that in court. Now, I don't, you know.
Probably not, because that is a pretty low.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and I think he probably liked his position. Now, the settlement's $450,000 above the midway point. Okay. It's a little nerd numbers here, but my point is this. Jake Arrieta, who the Cubs are going to have to sign at some point, and he's got his agent, Scott Boras, who's wanting to get every last dollar. I think if they went to court, they would have gotten every last dollar, but Arrieta and company stepped in and took a little bit over the midway and signed. So this, to me, is an optimistic look at the Cubs signing Arrieta down the line. The fact that he was willing to compromise, take a little bit.
If you're Jake Arrieta, you're not leaving. Why would you want to leave?
I don't think he does.
Yes. Okay. In short, I completely agree with you.
Thank you very much.
All right, we got to take our final timeout, come back, and close things up. 720 WGM. All right, clean up a couple items. One, texter texting in that we never really addressed if it was a good call or not in that Hawks game the other night with the goaltender interference when they disallowed.
All I know is Judd just gave us a very detailed description that it was the right call.
He thinks it's the right call. We talked about it off the air. He said that Marinhosa was already in the crease before he got pushed, and he needs to make an effort to get out, and he clearly tangled up the netminder, so he thinks it's a good call.
And Judd was texting with like people in the league office, which is why he's Judd and has that type of contact level.
Also have Bulls nugget.
Mike Dunleavy is confirmed to be playing tonight, so he will be on the court when the Bulls take on the Timberwolves, his first game of the year. So everybody who's excited about Mike Dunleavy playing can jump for joy, and he will help. But there has been a whole lot of Mike Dunleavy. Well, they don't have Dunleavy. Well, they have him now. He'll be back tonight.
Thank you to Jared Payton, who joined the show. We'll talk to him again tomorrow. He is at the Super Bowl just hanging out with Roger Goodell tonight. No big deal. NFL Awards. They give away the Man of the Year Award tonight. He'll join us on our Super Bowl pregame show tomorrow, 3 to 5 o'clock here on 720 WGN. Don't miss it. We'll have a lot on Ron Rivera. Also, Dr. Jim Phillips joined us. I have it marked down, 417. I love you. That's what he said to Mark Carmen. We got to pull that.
Please do.
Bryant McIntosh, we also replayed our interview with Tat Tomasulo. You can find that on WGNradio.com/sports. Go to our iTunes. The Beat is on iTunes. Subscribe there. You can get all of our content.
And thanks again to Judd for coming on down and entertaining us with Blackhawks hockey. Hawks and the Stars. That Stars have won all three games this season. You'll get all the details, of course, coming up in pregame in 30 seconds. Blackhawk hockey tonight. A little double vision for me. Hawks-Bulls.
Again, we are back tomorrow. 3 to 5 Super Bowl pregame. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmel, we'll have Jared Payton join us. Everdeen and a couple other guests. Should be fun as we walk you straight up to Super Bowl 50. It's here.
We got to go. But
7:20.
We're doing pregame on the air tomorrow. I'm having dips. Fun stuff.
Dips in studio.
Yeah.
7:20 WGM.